One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Family Jewels,
a podcast about family drama, family trauma, and everything else you got from your mama. Family Jewels, when you're here, you're family.
Cease and desist from Olive Garden pending.
This is my sister from another Mr. Charlie Dinkin.
And this is a woman with a good haircut, Olga Koch.
We started this podcast because when you talk shit about other people, it's gossip.
But when you talk shit about your family, it's research.
Please welcome today's guest. Charlie, I think you should be presenting this person.
Producer, writer, head daddy at Daddy Super Yacht Productions, and my personal partner in both business and life,
yes.
Benjamin Sutton.
Yay!
Thanks for coming on the podcast, Ben. No, a difficult well. Booking. Only because he won't look in his calendar when you ask him if he's busy.
Yeah. You're scraping the barrel at 7, I see, already.
We were like, we'll talk to everyone we know and then we'll try and meet some new people.
Ben, yeah. Is this your first time on a podcast?
Yes. Yeah, by design. But sometimes I think I'm like heard in the background of other people's podcasts, as I've made many people's.
He has made many people's podcasts. He's made some podcasts for us.
I would say that Ben is the answer to the question, who do you need to sleep with to get on Family Jewels?
That is true. When we first started going out, I, as a joke to my agent at the time, was like, I've cracked it. I'm finally sleeping with a producer. And then she very earnestly was like, great, yes.
And that's the best advice she's ever given you.
Yeah, she wasn't wrong. It's been very successful for me.
At the time, I think my official job title was assistant producer as well, so you fucked up.
No, you got in on the ground floor.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's the best tip I could give. Find an assistant, hang in there for the long run.
Yeah.
Great. And here we are, podcasting.
Here we are, podcasting.
Together again.
Together. Do you know what this podcast is?
Yes.
All right.
I do.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
4.
It's too many, in my opinion. Many.
Okay, so there's 5 of you in total.
Five of us in total.
Oh, same parents?
Same parents.
Age difference?
All very close. All sort of, all 90s? Yeah, all 90s.
What a decade.
1990 to 97. 5. Four on purpose, and then the last one slip through them.
Am I allowed to ask whether there was a vasectomy involved?
You are. I don't actually know the whole story. But
why did it stop?
Essentially, the plan was to stop after 4.
Okay.
And then my little brother Ed was just too tenacious not to exist, so he squeezed through. Yeah.
And my favorite fact about you and your siblings is you are named in alphabetical order.
That's all.
Okay, that's adorable. Can you name them for us?
Yes, Amy, Ben, Chrissy, Danny, Eddie.
Isn't that really cute? That's yeah. really cute.
That also wasn't intentional to begin with.
Oh, but really?
When
did they start?
They realised that it was ABC after they named Chrissy. And then obviously the novelty of having children was over.
They couldn't just
categorise them. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I think that's a cooler twist on the same, like the Kardashians. That's a cooler twist on it.
Because all
the Kardashians
K's.
Are all K's.
Oh, is that what?
Also, I believe Goebbels' children were all H's.
Were they?
Yeah.
What a weird little fact.
Let me look that up really quickly. Helga, Hilda, Helmut, Holde, Hedda, and Heidi. A fun fact for you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. All dead in the bunker. Don't worry.
Another thing I obviously know about your family is you have a very disparate group of job paths in your siblings.
Yeah, we do. We do. We're all quite different. We were all kind of raised to be like very independent. So,
were you a gang when you grew up then? Or
yeah, and actually, when we were kids, and we used to have to like travel on the train to get to school. And when we were kids, usually like you individually would get like kind of a bully-y sort of name, but the whole group of us were just like called the Von Trapp family.
But we
didn't like do ourselves any favors because it wasn't like we were like a quiet little group of kids on the train. We were like singing and dancing.
And oh, Ben!
At one point, we would do. I really remember us like doing magic.
You were begging to be bullied.
Just the passengers on the train. We did a bit. So you know, we were doing a bit like back in the day. You could go between. Carriage doors were like physical doors.
Yeah.
And we were doing like the vanishing lady to like a whole carriages. And then when we were done with that carriage, we would move on to the next carriage until we got home.
Oh my God.
And so, yeah, we just invited a lot of people.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
But you didn't mind.
Obviously, we didn't give a shit because we thought we were really cool. And there were five of us, so we outnumbered like most people.
No group of bullies could.
Yeah,
they need to be six bullies.
There is definitely something to be said about that. You would need six bullies to get to us, I think, for sure. So it was challenging.
And
to
even
bully
when
us.
They would try and bully you, you'd just vanish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You do well on TikTok today. I keep seeing those people who like one person. Is like behind, got a blanket, and then they like throw the blanket in the air, and then the other person like comes up behind the blanket. But yeah. I saw them doing it to like a food stall, like a man just working
at a
food stall, and they're like doing magic to him. I assume against his will.
We would have been an extremely insufferable.
Oh my
TikTok
god! Yeah,
for sure. And we were obviously doing all of that sort of stuff before there was a TikTok. So like I had a little like home movie camera.
That's how you got your start.
Oh, 100%, absolutely. We were making sketches on the train at school.
So the Sutton family actually invented two kids on top of each other wearing a trench coat. Yeah. This is true. That was the origin.
Five kids, 9 foot tall.
Yeah, yeah.
In age and alphabetical order.
The world's longest trench coat.
but apart from the fact that we were sort of all forced together, we were all raised to be very, very independent people and pursue our interests. Rightly or wrongly. So it's like my sister is an actor, you know what I do. So that kind of seems
you're the
like,
most entertainment to begin with.
Yeah, that sort of seems to make sense.
Yeah.
And then my little sister has had like a whole array of jobs, but like what she, her main interest is in like events planning, like sports events planning, and was always very sporty. And at one point,
she books a Super Bowl halftime show.
At one point she wanted to do Olympic snowboarding, but just like didn't actually like have the attention span to like focus.
We all
want to
be an Olympic.
We've all had that intention.
That's like me watching Cirque du Soleil. Have you ever seen Cirque du Soleil?
Yes.
Okay, every time. I think I've seen Cirque du Soleil twice, and both times I came out and then I like Googled what job I could do in Cirque du Soleil, and the answer was no job. There's no skill I could bring to Cirque du Soleil.
I'd say that is a Google search that is the most three quarters through a joint I've ever heard.
And then Dan is a zookeeper. So
that's the coolest job ever.
He looks after a zoo in Wales. And then my youngest brother's a soldier, like a straight up soldier.
It's in the army.
Okay, can I request explicitly you tell the story of your brother's medical hardship a few years ago?
What story was that?
When he got something stuck in his hand or arm, and then no one could diagnose it.
I definitely don't have all the details. This is the thing is that like, because there's so many of us and we have lived very disparate lives, it is like hearing these stories. I texted them all last night and I was like, I'm doing this today, and they volunteered some stories, and they volunteered some things to say, and they were telling me stories about our lives together. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? When did any of this happen? But yeah, no, I do remember that. This was a few years ago that he had been on like a training deployment somewhere. And he had something in his arm, some like infection, some sort of weird thing. And they were like, that could be a like tropical disease. But they couldn't get to the bottom of it. And he just sort of.
It was amazing because he had to call like a special university or something, or an institute.
They were really interested in it.
They wanted students to look at it, and then they wouldn't remove it. And he said, "Are you going to treat it?" And he said, "If it was going to kill you, it would have killed you already."
Oh yeah, no, I'm glad. That
I love this story.
Yeah, no, yeah. If he was going to kill you, it would kill you.
Is it healed now?
Yeah, it's over now. I think I've checked in, but yeah.
Imagine call having to be transferred and trust. Please hold. You're talking to the FBI and they're like, we're not going to treat you, but we will come have a bunch of students take a look.
Yeah, we do want to check it out.
Yeah, they love to.
You got what? Yo, stay there. We'll be right there.
Yeah, I think that they just never really got to the bottom of what it was at all. But it was this kind of like grotesque looking thing.
Did I
have a picture of it at the time? I think so. I don't have that picture anymore, but it was horrible. It really was like unpleasant.
Imagine just a bunch of doctors, instead of being like putting a bandage on, just be like, whoa, let me get Ed.
Yeah. But he lives.
He survives. So, he continues to be in the army.
Cheers to that.
But you see my problem with this is that it's like, how do we even begin? Like, where do we categorize all these people? There's so many. We haven't even talked about.
Well, now all I know is that I recalled a story from your family better than you did.
Yeah, so. No, but this is going to be so bad. And it's like, when I texted them last night and they sent me all these stories, it's like there's so many of them that I'm just like, oh, I just don't know this. It's like, I just don't know any of this stuff about them, really.
So talk to us about where are you from? Where did you grow up?
So we all grew up in like Worthing, which is a BN postcode, which is like a Brighton postcode. So we all say Brighton, obviously, because Brighton's much cooler than Worthing. We grew up there, but I consider my home to be Brighton personally, because that's where I spent all of my childhood, really.
A fun fact about this podcast is it's actually not real. Because on the first two dates that you had, Charlie was so drunk she forgot everything you told her. So this is an excuse for her to ask you all these questions.
I do remember that.
No, I do remember. Yeah, I'm just like fact checking now. Yeah, I've set up this whole thing. We've done 6 episodes.
Yeah. So how old are you?
Oh, I see.
What's your last name?
I didn't drink on our first date.
Yes, you did. And so did I. Oh. And what's funny about that is that like neither of us really drink.
We don't drink at all. It was the most insane courtship of all time.
Oh, it was wild.
You had an alcohol problem just because you couldn't bring yourselves to say that you want to kiss each other.
No, I think that is partly true. Is that we just like obviously really liked. So we really liked hanging out, and we like would go to like the Curzon or whatever, and like watch a film, and then we would like sit and talk for.
We were spending
for
so much money going to the cinema and buying a bottle of wine.
But also, it's like we were just hanging out as well till like three or four in the morning. Just hanging out, and we'd have to create excuses to like keep hanging out, and it was like buying another bottle of wine, and I don't think I've ever really drunk that much in my life,
no.
And I don't think either of us really wanted to or enjoyed it. We just liked hanging out,
and then you both sobered up and realized you were living with each other.
Yeah, that was. I think
and then the pandemic hit, and we were truly living with each other.
Yeah.
So. You are from Brighton. Were your parents born there? Did they move there?
No, so they're both from the place that I was actually born, which is Chippenham, which is a little town nearish to Bristol, basically. And they had like a almost like a childhood romance, and they got married when they were 19 years old.
Oh my god!
Which I would just not recommend.
Yeah, but then like your parents met young.
Did they meet in high school?
Yeah, I think so. Again, I don't know like the full story of this. They just are like a constant in a way to me. That they just seem it seems that they were just like always in love and always married.
But they wanted to. They met and they wanted to live together.
Yeah, that's the truth of it. Married. Yeah, so it's like my mum's side is like very very strict Catholic, and so if you wanted to live with your
You just had to get married.
Okay.
You had to get married.
Speaking of, can I just say something that I think is relevant to this?
Please.
Yeah.
So I followed this model on Instagram who is also a Christian. And okay. This is a caption to an Instagram post that she posted recently that I need you guys to see. Is it okay if I read it for you?
Please.
We're officially engaged. For those of you who don't know, Trevor and I did a small wedding during COVID that was not ordained nor legal. Ha ha.
Yeah, okay.
But it was a ceremony to get married in the eyes of the Lord and to hopefully later be married by the state. Well, it's later and I can't wait.
Announce you banged. Announce you banged.
Not legal nor ordained.
How do you do a non-legal, non-ordained wedding?
I guess you just fuck in a white dress.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to like live together. Although, like, since, like, speaking to my mum, like, my mum, like, isn't really, like, doesn't really have, like, a big interest in, like, marriage as an institution. And so she sort of was like, you know, if she could go back and be the person that she is now as a teenager and sort of feel that security, she wouldn't have wanted to get married. And she was telling me this story. She was like, you know, I don't understand it. I don't really get it. It's not actually really that interesting to me. And my dad's just listening. And then he's like, I did want to get married. He was like, yeah, I actually did. I was sort of into it. So, but no, they've had a very happy marriage. It's like, I think it's worked very well.
Same energy.
Well
my dad told a story, actually several stories about my mom at university. They knew each other at university. And my dad remembers having a snog with my mom. And like told us a story of it. My mom straight up does not remember it. They did not actually get together till they were like 25, 26, I think. They met again years later. But my dad was like, there was like one magical night where we were like dancing and kissing and it was like our song. And my mom, truly, you can see in her eyes, had zero recollection of this.
Oh my God.
Nothing.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's iconic. Yeah. That is iconic.
He also swears I think it was her. I'm sure, maybe I've made this story up, but I'm sure he once told me a story where he was like, yeah, this like scary dude, this like big scary dude was like talking to her and she obviously didn't want to talk to him. So I like went over and I was like, back off, buddy. And then he was like, and then I smoked. This is why I think it's an imaginary memory in his mind. He was like, I lit a cigarette and then I smoked the entire cigarette in one inhale.
Your dad used to be a cartoon of a crocodile in a fucking fedora.
Yeah, he was like, that definitely happened. So your parents have been together for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't work out how many years, a long time, yeah.
And what is their background?
Well, they just grew up in this small town. I don't know what else to say.
You know what I'm going to ask you next. I don't know why we're like easing
Oh, right,
in
you're
that
like
way.
Easing into it, yeah, okay.
So where's your mum's family from?
So my mum's family is like German and Italian. And then my dad's family are just all from the UK.
Germany and Italy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what were they doing during the war?
Yeah, so this is what we talked about before. And I was like very merrily living my life. And I really, really vividly remember it just occurring to me at 22, I think, that I was just walking down the street in Southampton. And then I was just like, holy shit, what were... what were Upa and Umerlein doing in the war?
Oh, and they were German.
And they were German, you know. So.
Yeah, if you're not even calling them Grammy,
you know, so,
no pretense.
It's like these are people I didn't really know. I met my Umerlein one time, I didn't really know them, but it just sort of all clicked into place, like all of this information. It was like, you know, like at the end of The Usual Suspects, where you realise who the villains are, and I was just like, oh my God! So I like immediately called my mum. I like straight away called my mum, and I was like, you know, what was
going
on?
This is your mom's family.
Yeah, this is my mom's family. I was like, so what's up? Like, what's the story? And she was just like, like this on the phone. And she was like, I
knew this phone call was going to come.
Yeah, like it was really
I didn't realize it would take 22 years.
Yeah, and she was like, I only ever asked, she was like, I only ever asked my grandfather like one time about the war. And he was a Luftwaffe pilot. And I asked him what he was doing. He told me one story. And it was the last week of the Second World War, and he was ordered to shoot down a Polish passenger plane, and he refused that order and he didn't do it. And he told this story to my mum, and then he cried, and I was like, obviously, tell that story. He comes off like pretty good in that story.
What about
all the rest of it? Like, where is all the rest of the information?
A very convenient story.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't think I really want to know. I don't think I have like a great interest in it.
Okay, so did her parents grow up in Germany and Italy, or did they grow up in the UK?
No. My grandma grew up in Germany, but lived in the UK. I think early on, because my grandfather isn't Italian. He was born here, and that's the other side of it is, then after I heard that story, I didn't really want to know anything about the Italian fascists either. Like, I wasn't interested in that. But I found out like actually relatively recently that my Italian great grandfather moved to Chippenham, where my parents are from, my family's from, like in the 30s or something, and like set up a business in Chippenham, this like ice cream shop cafe thing that was there, like my grandfather ran it as well, so it was there for a really long time, and like a staple of the high street in Chippenham. And I assumed that he just like was another Italian fascist or whatever, but he just lived near Bristol.
Married, just a Chippenham ice cream man.
Just a Chippenham ice cream man, like married to like a Bristolian woman, had children. And then when the Second World War came around and Italy became, you know, enemies of Britain, he was put on a list and locked up.
Because there were labor camps for them here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So he was like put into a camp on the Isle of Man for like a year and a half, like just in case.
Well, it's similar to what happened to my grandparents, because they were all German, but they never actually lived in Germany, but they were still sent to labor camps.
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandpa, my Russian case. Grandpa, for like, I actually checked with my dad, and he was like, we don't know how long. Like, could have been a few days, could have been a few weeks, but he was like taken from their house in the Second World War.
So you've met your grandma.
My great grandma.
Once.
Yeah, one time at a wedding, and we danced together, and she cried because I reminded her so much of
when her husband was hot. That must be surreal
to see a young person. It's like a time traveler. Like, you remind me of my dead husband when he was young,
which is insane because I obviously look way more like the Italian side of my family. So
yeah, she was like, I wish she had that head of hair.
Yeah, right.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So this is, let me just paint a picture for myself.
Yeah.
This is the this is the mother of your mom's...
Mother, yeah.
Okay, mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And that's all German.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your mom's dad is the Italian guy.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, although not Italian.
Or his dad is the Italian.
His
great-grandfather
is Italian.
Guy, and his,
and he was born here.
And his the Italian guy's wife was Bristolian.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is, we've covered mom's side of the family.
Yeah, and then I'm going to be so unhelpful with my dad's side. Both my dad's parents are dead now. And they were nice. I don't know what... They were all just like nice and friendly, and it's like I don't think I really knew them anything other than just like extremely fun, loving grandparents. Yeah.
Did they have big families? Like, do your parents have lots of?
Oh
siblings?
Yeah, so on my mum's side, yeah, like a lot of children. Like, so I can't tell you. I literally don't know how many cousins I have. I like cannot keep track of them.
How many siblings does your mum have?
She has 4 siblings. Getting that right, and then they have like loads of fucking like all of them.
Well,
have
yeah, if she had 5, and she's one of 5.
Yeah, and they have loads of children. Well, like, ours isn't the biggest family. There's one of my uncle's family is like 7 children. I think 7. I could be.
They
more.
Probably don't know either.
I don't
At
know.
Some point, you
this
stop
is,
counting.
That is bad because I've like not kept track of like how many. But there's so many, and then there's like children born to my cousins, and so it's just like. There's this huge mass of people all related to me that I've just completely lost track of, like, what's going on with them.
And I have a surprise. Charlie Dinkins.
I don't think we're related, but I will say, I do think you look a bit like my dad.
I don't even want to get
You look that. Exactly like her brother. It's fucking gross and kind of cute. So I have, can I ask a question that might not be great and you can not want to answer it?
Yeah, go on.
You come from a Catholic background. Your parents got married because they went to live together, they had 5 kids. What was the sex ed like in your home?
Actually, good, like good, but like with the like a Catholic spin. You know
okay,
I mean?
Please like, elaborate.
Just like guilt, obviously guilt.
Okay,
like
okay.
Guilt is the greatest contraception of all time. like home at home, like very reasonable. Like I they had kind of like weird beliefs. Only in the sense that I think that, like, Catholicism is a weird belief. But they weren't, like, extreme.
But did you have to go to church and stuff?
Yeah, like, every week. And I, like, became very, very resentful of Ooh. Doing that. The rule that was that you had to go to church until you were 16. And then you could do... Then you were an adult and you could do whatever... You could then do whatever you wanted.
Are they still religious or are any of your siblings
and no,
religious?
And then that's what's interesting is that actually I think that they were very religious... Just, but just through like inherited religiosity of like it was very like extremely religious my mum's side of the family, and then I think that they've kind of like I think we've all sort of convinced them that is that to not be and that it's not actually that great. I don't know if I should say stuff like that,
but
like,
you got more religious.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
So
why did Ben Sutton get more religious
now,
in his
today?
Early
No. So that was interesting. So it's sort of like religion. You just like never like question. Like you never. I don't think you would question it as a child, right? And then just sort of like just like a moderate Christian family, Christian values, church every week stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And then there was this girl that I really fancied.
Oh, there it is.
There was this girl I really fancied who...
Her name was Mary.
and she went to... I went to Catholic school. She went to Catholic school with me as well. And I really liked her. And she went to... It was like this youth... church.
Oh my god, I know. Oh my god, we had a youth church club in our school, but they covered up and they were like free pizza and I was like, why is the pizza free?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, 100%. 100%. So it was like it was like you would go to this place on the weekend in the evening and you would like play dodgeball and play PlayStation and like eat sweets and stuff. But then you would do like 45 minutes of like worship.
So you were really just enduring the worship to enjoy the flirting and
so I really fancied this girl and she went there, so I was like going to like hang out with her. I also like did not understand that there were other Christian religions at the time.
Okay.
I didn't really understand that there... I thought that there was, like, Catholicism and then there was Church of England, but I didn't really understand that there was, like, other things. So I assumed that we were all going to this Catholic youth club. And so I was, like, going, like, why is Catholic youth club so much cooler than Catholic church, which is fucking boring, right? Oh. And anyway, it turns out that it's like, some mad evangelical free church, right? Yeah. Like just doing like mad stuff. And
there's no pizza in Catholicism.
And then the girl broke up with me, but they hooked me. Like, you know, so there was like a period.
He loved the dodgeball.
Yeah, there was a period where I was like really getting into like all the steps of being like indoctrinated for sure.
Okay, hear me out, because I think that this logically makes sense. So you know how people have this, like, you thought Catholicism was the whole world, and then someone showed you not Catholicism.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's like religion versus no religion. But to you, the flip from believing in God to not believing in God was the flip from Catholicism to it doesn't have to be this type.
Yeah, exactly. Catholicism. And then it was like, but it wasn't, because it's not Catholicism. It's not, there's no Pope or anything. It's just mad, so mad. But it's like, There's just pizza and sweets. And it
sounds sick.
It was.
I'm interested.
No, but it was like, it was really like effective indoctrination. Like, you felt like Catholicism, I don't really rate it as a religion. I think it has like lots of problems, but it is basically benign in the modern world, I think. Like, I don't, basically. Whereas like, well, in comparison to this church where they were like, healing. They were like healing. They were like speaking in tongues. You know, they were doing all kinds of like I feel crazy stuff. Right. And I really remember going to, not really realizing there was anything wrong with it, but just like getting like so swept up with the emotion of it, and like really wanting to, like, at the age of like 13 or 14, like my ambition for life was going to be like preach the gospel.
Oh my God, I wish you did.
No, fucking crazy. Honestly insane.
I think there's still time.
And then, like, just, like, some really weird stuff happened. And I just, like, I just had, like, an odd experience where it was just, like, I was, like, walking around. And then it's similar to, like, these realizations. Like, I just was walking around. And then I was like, oh, this is a lie.
Like, dangerous for you to go on a walk is what I'm hearing. Yeah.
But, like, extremely, like so immediate. Like, I was outside and I was, like, looking up. And this, I was, like, really believing. I was, like, I was going to go off and, like, do Christianity as, like, a life pursuit in a way. And then I was just, like, outside and I was, like, looking up at the sky. And then I was, like, oh my God, there's no God. Like, what the fuck? Like, really, like, occurred to me, like, really vividly and hard. And I remember just, like, realizing it, that it was all nonsense, like, so instantaneously. And falling down, I was like so,
oh my,
like,
God, Ben.
Oh my, like, so shocked. And then I kept going to this free church for a bit after that. So I was a bit older now. So I was like coming up on like 15 or 16 now. And I went.
How are your parents feeling? How are your Catholic parents feeling about the fact
that you're... My parents like were basically fine with stuff as long as we were like not really like hurting ourselves or hurting anyone, like, in it. And broadly speaking, it's not the worst thing to be coming home and being like, oh, I'm hanging out with the Christians. It's like, oh, you could be hanging out with, like, you know what I mean? Like, so from their perspective, I think that they sort of were like okay with it. And they were still pretty religious. So, and I don't think they understood the nuances of the differences.
Can I ask a question, which is, you were a goth.
Big dad.
Okay, wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
So you were in a group of Christian goths.
No.
Are you, start from the beginning.
This podcast is going to get so derailed.
When did you become a goth? And when were you a Christian? And what was the overlap?
Like, gothy for a long time. Like, from probably around the same kind of time.
What's the Venn diagram of your goth friends and your Christian friends?
None.
So you're the Venn diagram.
We were all in Catholic school.
Oh,
so
fine.
But actually, like, most kids in Catholic school don't care or think about God. Ever except
apart from
at
you.
School.
Yeah.
Apart from me, who had to go to a Catholic church every week and then also was opting to go to Christian youth club. You know, so that, like, bizarre.
Wearing a long leather coat.
Sometimes, yeah.
In the summer.
In the summer.
Yeah, but it didn't, like, to me, it like didn't contradict anything. And
believe in God, no, you believe in Dracula.
I showed you some of these things that it was like, you know, I just like the genre of like rock music, right? And then there was Christian rock, obviously, that's like the main genre of Christian music.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I showed you some of the albums that we were.
Yeah, there was some really bad music.
I once got into a band albums. And then realized that they were Christian.
No.
Yeah. It was one of the most.
When did you realize?
It was, okay, let me tell it's a really cool song.
Yeah.
And then I was like really jamming to it. And then I was like, wait a second, what are they saying?
Yeah.
Can you tell us some of the lyrics?
I need, do you mind if I look it up really quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you get up MC Tempo?
What was it called?
MC Tempo stylized with a crucifix for the T. I'll finish this bit of the story whilst you're Googling.
Yeah, go on.
But yeah, so basically I realised God was alive. But I felt upset about it because I really was like, it was like the tandem realization was God is a lie and there is nothing when you're dead.
Yeah.
Right. And that was the thing that I was really upset about, that there was just nothing when you were dead. And so I kept going to Christian Youth Club.
For the pizza.
And I kept going and I wanted to like sort of like maybe find some like clarity, and I just like was in there, and we went to like a really big event at the main church, the main cult church, right? And they were doing healings, they were doing like all of this stuff, and I was like, ugh. Like I suddenly felt really like, and I just remember him like holding his arm out, and this is like all like 14, 15 year old teenagers in like 2007, 2008 or whatever. And he's just like, someone over there in this side of the room, someone over here in this side of the room is cutting themselves. And I just want you to know that you're not alone. And it was just like...
He's doing Darren Brown probability shit.
100%. And it was just like, you know, it's just like a room full of kids who are all listening to like Bullet for My Valentine, My Chemical Romance. It's like, yeah, good guess, bro. You know what I mean? And it was just like, so it was so weird how like obvious the bullshit, like the facade was.
Yeah.
Like, and it was almost like you then had to go off and have like private prayer with your pastor, the one who was like in charge of you. And I sat down with this guy and we were talking. He was like, hey, what's going on? And I was like, I think this is all a lie. I think this is all bullshit. And he was like, okay, do you want to pray about that? And I was like, all right. And then we prayed in silence for like 5 minutes. And I just felt nothing. I was like, this is all horrible. And then I never went, and then never went back. And then became like aggressively anti-religious, just went into a new phase of like
ultra-atheism.
Ultra-atheism.
Christopher Hitchens.
Oh,
Dawkins.
Harris. Dawkins. All of that. Yeah.
Somehow worse to me.
Yeah, worse. Definitely worse. way more insufferable. Way less joie de vivre there.
Can I ask a really silly question that you might not be able to articulate? But like, when you believed, truly believed, and were like gonna dedicate your life to God, what was that feel like? How can you describe that? Like eating ice cream? A very nice day? I just like, I want to know what it feels like, the euphoria of believing.
Well, I feel that...
Purpose?
It's difficult to like put a finger on how it felt. But I think that, I think it was nicer that the idea that you would go to heaven, like it made a lot of things like make sense, right? That you would go heaven.
Like contentness.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not even contentness, because it's like, I'm still just a normal person. Like life has their ups and downs, right?
Okay,
and
but do you feel like you're moving through the world knowing that there's like, oh, I have ice cream.
Oh,
at
yeah,
home,
like I
in
have
the
like,
freezer.
Yeah, yeah, no,
that
like,
feeling.
Like that, yeah, going to heaven, no question. No question. And especially with the Catholicism side of it, you knew how easy it was to go.
Because of like, you can buy some Hail Marys? Is that a thing?
Big time, yeah.
Yeah,
I
just keep saying
sorry, I can say sorry for almost anything. And then if I make sure I get it in right at the end, then I'm like, good to go.
Golden.
I think that, but I don't think it's like a benefit to like your life, because nothing, like I was going along with like a belief that when I died, I would go to heaven as a child. And, you know, and nothing happened except that I like looked up in the sky And then I like felt the worst feeling I've ever felt in my life.
And he fell to the ground.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, it wasn't like, whatever. Like, believing something that's not true is harmless if it like makes you feel good. It's like, well, no, because you can't control that belief. You literally can't. Anything can shake you out. Like, literally, obviously anything can shake you out of it. And then you're just suddenly confronted with your own mortality. Whereas I feel like if you always just knew that when you died, it would be over and you didn't really like engage with it. In like a literal adult, like I was an adult when I would like realized I was going to be dead forever, and it's like if that had just been a fact, I feel like I would have dealt with it a lot better, and I would have felt better about it for my whole life. Whereas I feel like because there was like a moment when I noticed that I was going to die, that I was like, oh, shoot. I think I went kind of like crazy. I think it made me feel a bit crazy.
I'm so glad it wasn't Scientology that you just... That girl was into.
It was not very Russian to be religious.
No.
So just no engagement with it.
No, there was engagement, but it was very much like looking at it as like a lifestyle as opposed to like be humble. Work hard. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of vibe. It's more... It felt Christianity to my parents... The way that they apply it felt much more like what Scientology claims to be, like a self-help thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Of like, let's live by these sort of standards and understanding. Heaven was never a thing that ever was brought up. It was more of like, it was more like don't lie. Like it's a rules for life thing as opposed to a spiritual thing.
Interesting. I remember saying to my dad, because I guess I technically didn't go to religious schools, but we would like do hymns and prayers in assembly and stuff. And I remember once saying to my dad, like, what do I do during the hymns? And my dad was like, sing along. Like, you want to sing, have a sing song. And then I was like, what do I do when they say the Lord's Prayer? And he was like, you know, you can just stand there. You don't have to say it or don't say it. Like, we don't believe in it. So it doesn't make any difference what you do. So I think you're right. Being able to come at it with an attitude of like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, that's what, when you go to America, it's so jarring, especially when you go Bible Belt, how much religion is sold as magic, that it's really jarring. That they're like, Jesus is real, we have proof.
Yeah.
Or it's like, and it's like, it's all about like exorcisms and things, which I think is like the magic take on religion is very specific.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess Protestantism is more about like, these are rules for life.
The only other thing I'll add to this is that, like, to just go back to my parents and, like, what they were teaching us about Christianity is I've never, ever, like, held any, like, extreme or, like, hateful beliefs, even as a Catholic or a Christian.
And your parents, I mean, and unless they were very different since I've
like
known them.
My parents never, like, absolutely never. Just going back to the sex education stuff that you were saying.
Yeah.
They weren't teaching us mad shit. They were just, like, teaching us to just engage with the world in like a positive way. I think that overall it's like it's just like an umbrella of like positivity in general. And but then all of that stuff makes you like if you're like going around and it's just like you're making up your own rules anyway. It's like you just it's like easier to understand that there's like you are God. Like anybody who's going around in any religion and ignoring aspects of it are just like creating God in themselves anyway, so why bother? It's like, why be God? Like, why not? But also impossible for us to like live our lives going to school in Brighton, even Catholic school in Brighton. Like Brighton obviously like extreme, like especially when I was growing up, like unbelievably liberal place. And it's like you knew so many people of like different, but and I'm truly very grateful to have like grown up in Brighton. I feel like less of my values for life come from like Christianity and way more of them come from the city.
One thing I do always like about your mom that you told me that I think was framed as ostensibly a religious decision is that she just wouldn't let you watch The Simpsons.
So then there's like crazy things that it's like really insane things happen to us as children that were ostensibly for religious reasons that aren't
you just didn't want to watch The Simpsons.
That have nothing to do with like that's doctrines so of funny. Faith or anything.
Oh,
right. So
that's
so
funny.
So The Simpsons banned. Banned. Only The Simpsons. I don't know any other program that we were not allowed to watch.
That is so
But funny. People are like almost angry at me working in comedy, and when they talk to me, I have truly watched less than 5 episodes of The Simpsons. Less than 5 episodes.
Yeah, because of your Christian beliefs. I love that.
My beliefs.
No coriander in the house. Christian.
Just mad. Yeah, just mad. It's like, obviously that has nothing to do with anything. But yeah, it was just like, that was just bad. I was just like, what? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And she's more of a Family Guy girl.
She loves Family Guy. Are you? That is the weirdest bit. Is that like, like Family Guy, which is like objectively the worst show, like the worst of the two shows.
Family Guy, but
she loves it. She really likes it. She's watching it all the time on ITV2 late at night, watching Family Guy.
You know, Jesus loves Family Guy.
Loves Family Guy.
Catholics for Family Guy. Peter Griffin.
Oh my God! I can't believe how much she likes Family Guy in comparison to just like never engaging with The Simpsons, never watching The Simpsons. But I just didn't like really miss out on it or feel like I needed to see it. But I was furious because one Len, she was like, no TV on Sundays. But that was when they screened Buffy in the UK on Channel 4. And it's like,
Buffy, not a very Christian show.
Not at all. No, not. And it was like, I was like, I will offset the day that I don't want. You know what it is? It's like, I can't. It's like, the TV schedule is the TV schedule. Like, what am I? This
the is so unreal.
This
you're
is like
goth
so
team.
Unreasonable to like not let me watch it and
not
then,
let a goth watch Buffy. That's torture.
Oh my God! I remember being so angry about it. And then like having to go we had like a really, really old TV in our house that I don't think I like ever actually really watched it, but it was like really old, and it was like a TV that you could like tune like a radio.
Oh, that's really old.
Yeah, really fucking old TV that was like up in the attic somewhere. And so I was going up there tuning into Buffy on a tiny black and white screen to try and get around this the banning of Buffy.
We are going to have to wrap it up. Let's hear a little Christian rock to see it out, and then we'll have to have you back, Ben, another time. She's rocking. She's vibing.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Okay, well.
Is it explicitly?
Okay, so I've listened to it a million times, and something catches my attention. So I Googled the lyrics. Those are the lyrics. All of my life, I live to follow you alone as you change my desires. Liberated by the blood of Jesus, I found life in the sweetness of freedom.
It scammed you, man. Yeah, it scammed
you. There's no denial.
It's
wild. There's no
it's
denial.
Wild. It's wild. So I'll tell you this one about this one guy, MC Tempo, who is from this mad free church that I went to.
MC Tempo.
T's across.
He was like a... He was like a rapper, obviously, Christian rap and like an evangelical Christian person. We had this free church was mad, full of kind of extreme people. At my Catholic school, which is very old fashioned, broadly benign, old fashioned Christian belief, we got a new deacon, right, who runs the chapel, right. And the priest who had run the chapel before was also just like extremely like liberal, normal, low-key person who just did mass and stuff. This guy was like young and like hip, interested in like the hip, cool bits of religion, like these like mad free church people. So he was invited. We did this thing at my school called like Mission Week. He wanted to do a week where we were all like really engaging with. And this was like not something that we did in Catholic school. We just sort of like plodded through it. It was not there to be fun, but he wanted to do this event that was like we're gonna do a full week of like focused worship. Like he brought in this kind of like mad, like literally the Do You Know Where You Go When You Die. Oof. Street preachers, like off the streets. He was like inviting them to a school full of kids to talk and stuff like that. And I don't think anybody in the management of the school was like particularly paying attention to like what was going on, but it was like so disastrous as a concept in a place that was also like, you know, this you were learning there, like, you know, they did not teach evolution in science at my Catholic school, you know what I mean, like, but these guys were mental. Like they were mental. They were so mad. And MC Tempo was one of the speakers that he invited, and he was telling us all about he was telling us all about his like his life and how he had like turned from. Obviously he had like a dark life and like religion had helped him, but he was saying mad things about like how God had like spoken to him through a television. And he was saying things like, he would phrase it like this. One night I was like watching my television and God came through the television and spoke to me. And I know it wasn't the drugs. Right? And so we were like, okay.
God bless.
But this particular day he came in and as well as performing some of his hit songs, he took on evolution. We're in this big tent and like science teachers, like all normal teachers who presumably don't really believe anything, right? All stood around and he was there going like, an evolution, right? What's this nonsense? Do I believe my grandfather was a monkey? No. Just like, look at the teachers who are all like, what is happening? And it were like, I think a lot of people complained that they had essentially invited in like crazy people, like hellfire people, apocalypse people to come in and talk to like a bunch of impressionable teens.
Do I believe my grandpa was a monkey?
This episode of Family Jewels was produced by our nephew, Andrew White, in the fantastic Trusty Hog Studio.
I've been your one fun cousin, Charlie Lincoln.
And I've been your dad's brother, who's still living in the basement, but promises he's leaving any day now, Olga Koch.
Like, subscribe, share, and talk about us at your next family reunion.
If you have any family stories, secrets, or skeletons that you want to share, DM us on Instagram.
Or leave them to us in your will.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.